They not only recognized their spiritual poverty, they received spiritual prosperity by receiving Jesus Christ.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think that Jesus could hardly have produced a more startling beginning to his Beatitudes than to have made that statement. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are very few people in our world, perhaps very few Christians, very few people who would agree that poverty of any kind is a blessing, or that there is any bliss to be found in destitution. And that's really what that word poverty implies, absolute destitution, abject poverty. And this beatitude, this very first one, is the one which must logically come first. There is no one in the kingdom who is not first poor in spirit. It really represents, I believe, an emptying of ourselves, which must of necessity precede the filling of our lives through the riches that Jesus Christ can give to us. There are always these two sides to the gospel. There is first this emptying, and then this filling. There is first this acknowledgement of my great need, and then there is this crying out to God to meet that need. There is first a pulling down of the wrong things, and then a building up or an erecting or a raising up of the good things that only Christ can give to us. There must first be a pulling down of certain things in our lives before we can experience the riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of our prideful notions about the foundations upon which we construct a meaningful life, all of those prideful notions must come tumbling down. I must recognize that I'm not nearly so rich in wisdom and insight as I think that I am. I must acknowledge that my carefully, judiciously laid out plan for the whole rest of my life may not work after all. That I really do need the help of God. That I really do need the grace of God. That I really do need the power of God in my life, without which there will be no meaning in my experience. I know that I do not have the native wherewithal to provide for a successful way of life, a fruitful and meaningful and purposeful way of life in myself. I need God's help. We must be poor in spirit. First, I want to spend a little bit of time defining the concept. What does it mean? First, negatively, I want to tell you what it does not mean. And then positively, I want to tell you what it does mean. And then secondly, I want to spend a little bit of time defending the concept. How is it that it can bring blessing into our lives if we are poor in spirit? And I'll suggest to you there are two ways in which it brings blessing into our lives. Now, first of all, let me talk for a moment about defining the concept. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Let me tell you negatively, first of all, what it does not mean. Jesus was not talking about financial poverty. He was not talking about psychological poverty. He was not talking about hypocritical poverty. These are the things that he did not have in view. So what did he mean? Positively, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? And I would say very simply, it means two things. One, it means that I have in my being a recognition of spiritual poverty. Not financial poverty, not psychological poverty, not hypocritical poverty, spiritual poverty. It means one, recognition of spiritual poverty. And the other side of the coin is this. It means two, reception of spiritual prosperity. I recognize that I am a spiritual pauper. And by faith, I receive the riches that only Jesus Christ can give to me. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. And I want to tell you, that's the only way you get into God's kingdom. We do not belong anywhere except alongside of the publican in our Lord's parable, crying out to God with downcast eyes, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Without that mercy, there is no hope. Without that mercy, I perish. I have nothing to plead, nothing to offer, nothing with which to purchase the favor of heaven. I cast myself only upon the mercy of God, released through the atoning death of Jesus Christ. There's not only this idea of the recognition of our spiritual poverty, but there's also the idea of the reception of spiritual prosperity. In other words, they're the two sides of the same coin. We must not only be honest enough to accept God's evaluation of us, and his evaluation is very sobering and very humbling. You are sinful. You are helpless. You are bankrupt. You can do nothing. And it's not until you're willing to acknowledge that that I can help you. It's not a very flattering evaluation at all. We must, number one, be honest enough to accept God's evaluation of us, but we must also be humble enough to accept God's solution for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's evaluation is you are sinful and helpless. God's solution is a mighty Savior and a powerful salvation which comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be not only a recognition of spiritual poverty, there must be a reception of spiritual prosperity. I think that's what the poor man in the Bible is all about. Theologically, in the Bible, the poor man came to describe the man, and you see this term all through the Old Testament and in certain segments of the New Testament, the poor man. Theologically, in the Bible, the poor man came to describe the man who had realized his own utter helplessness and who had put his whole trust in God. That's what the psalmist meant. This poor man cried. The poor man is the man who recognizes he's bankrupt spiritually. And then he cries out to God. And the Bible says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Psalm 34 and verse 6. You know, in our Lord's own day, in his day, it was not the Pharisees who entered the kingdom. Those men who thought they were rich, so rich in merit that they thanked God for their own attainments. It was not the zealots who dreamed of establishing the kingdom by blood and sword. Those weren't the people who entered God's kingdom. It was the publicans and the prostitutes, the rejects of human society, who knew something. They knew something the Pharisees didn't know. They knew something the zealots didn't know. They knew that they were so poor they could offer nothing and they could achieve nothing. All they could do was to cry out to God for mercy. And when they cried out to God for mercy, he heard them and he saved them and he enriched them and he made them members of his kingdom. They not only recognized their spiritual poverty, they received spiritual prosperity by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's step one. None of the rest follows until we've done that, until we've become poor in spirit in this very biblical sense. Let me defend the concept for just a moment. I've tried to define it, and I hope it helps you, and I hope it relates to you. There may be some precious soul without Christ, and all we're saying to you is this: there's nothing you can do in the energy of your own flesh or on the basis of human merit to make yourself fit to stand in the presence of God. You're utterly, hopelessly, helplessly lost. And the moment you're willing to admit that and by faith receive what only Christ can give you, you can enter God's kingdom. You'll be forgiven, you'll be enriched, you'll be a kingdom constituent, you'll have all the blessings that belong to those who are the people of God. Now I want to defend this concept for just a moment. How is it that being poor in spirit can bring blessing down into our lives? And I would just say two things about that. There are many things that could be said, but I'd just say two things. One, when we become poor in spirit, it transforms our person. It makes us like God. And the more we become like God, the richer our life becomes. Two, it transforms our position. We begin to reign. We become members of God's kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It transforms our person and it transforms our position. It transforms our person in the sense that it's godlike. In becoming poor in spirit, there's a sense in which we become like God. Not that God is spiritually bankrupt, not in any sense of the term. But that God has about him a mood and a mentality, a spirit of humility, a spirit of condescension, a spirit of humility that reaches down to meet the needs of undeserving people. In that sense, God is poor in spirit. And when I become poor in spirit, in the biblical sense, I'm becoming like God. And whenever I become like God, I can expect that I'll be blessed like God is blessed. So we read in the Bible. We read of the Heavenly Father, who is like unto the Lord our God, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven that are on earth. Psalm 113, verses 5 and 6, God the Father is humble. In that sense, he's poor in spirit. And when I become poor in spirit, I'm becoming like him. And then we read of the Son. The Bible says, he made himself of no reputation. That is pristine humility. The Bible says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. When I become poor in spirit, I'm becoming like the Son. Do you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9? For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. There's our word, tokos. He became poor that you through his poverty, through his tokos, might be made rich, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, the Son of God is poor in spirit. And I think of the Holy Spirit. We read in the Scripture of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit. We read of the Spirit, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. You say, what does that have to do with humility in the Spirit? Let me tell you. Think of the humility of the Spirit. As he condescends to inhabit bodies like yours and mine. Think of the humility of our God. In becoming poor in spirit, I am reduplicating a facet of the nature of God. I am becoming like God. And as I become like God, my life will be enriched. Do you know that was God's original intention for us to be like him? In fact, do you remember when we were created? The Bible says that God made us in his own image and in his own likeness. God made us to be like him. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And when we fell, that image and likeness was marred, but it was not obliterated. And when we were saved, that image and likeness was restored in large measure and will be perfectly ultimately when we're with him. So that we can become like him once again. And that's what happens when we become poor in spirit. We're becoming like him. And that brings blessing down into our lives.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
You know, there's a poverty in riches, and there are riches in poverty.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.